right. How you doing?
How you doing, Wynton? It's great to talk to you.
Man, it's great to talk to you.
It is such a pleasure and an honor, and I'm a big fan. I'm going to say that right up front. So so we're just going to go ahead and dive right in right now, because I got to tell you, I've had the great fortune of seeing you a couple of times in the past, but the shows that meant the most to me were the two that I took my son to see you. My son is a trumpet player, and I wanted to introduce him to Wynton Marsalis. So in 2019, we had a chance to see Jazz at Lincoln Center twice at the Gilliard Auditorium here in Charleston. And we saw the holiday show, but it was the first show that we saw earlier in 2019 where you did the first half of the show was all the music of Leonard Bernstein. And then the second half was the music of Thelonious Monk. And I remember you opened up with a piece from Candide by Bernstein. And I looked at my son as he was watching you guys perform, and his mouth was just wide open, and it was just incredible, his reaction to it, and my reaction as a dad. I was almost in tears thinking that I was so happy that he had a chance to see that kind of musicianship. And so I just want to start out by saying thank you for everything.
Oh, man, thank you. That's such a beautiful story. Thank you very much.
Well, it's just meant so much to have my son as a trumpet player get to know the music of Wynton Marsalis and all that you've done as a multiple Grammy Award winner and an amazing body of work and a Pulitzer Prize winner and an advocate, educator, and cultural leader. How do you choose the pieces that you're going to actually perform? Because Lord knows you have so much to choose from.
You know, we pick different themes because each many people in the band, we've been together for a long time. They have a lot of arrangements. So depending on whose music we have or haven't played, what themes the presenters want us to put on, what time of year it is. This year we've been doing a lot of freedom and justice. So John Coltrane, A Love Supreme, Sonny Rollins, Freedom Suite, Charles Mingus, Meditations on Integration, the stuff I wrote, Democracy Suite. But sometimes it's love songs. Sometimes it's, you know, we have a lot of, there's something to be New Orleans music. Sometimes classic to the big band era. Sometimes original compositions, like we play Ted Nash's Presidential Suite and on the Road and so on and so forth.
Well, you know, here in Charleston, instead of getting the full Jazz at Lincoln Center group, it's going to be the Jazz at Lincoln Center septet. And obviously, you guys at Jazz at Lincoln Center have had to pivot during the pandemic, and how big a challenge has that been for you?
You know, like with everybody, it's been a struggle, but we've been up to it. I mean, we've been on management calls every day since the pandemic started, a year. Our management team of our organization, we had to cut revenue and do all the things. We had to cut expenses. We have loss of revenue. But we have not been shaken in terms of our dedication to our mission. Our board is still very committed. Matter of fact, I just finished an executive committee meeting just now. Things like you told me, like what you just said about your experience with your son. And the executive committee, we saw something about some of our education programs. Members of the executive committee were strengthened because, you know, a lot of us have been doing this for a long time. I was 26 when we started. Now I'm 59. So I think even what you told me, as passing as it is, it's meaning, you know. So, and you know, as you get older, I don't know how, your son is 15 or 16. 14?
My son was 16 when he had the chance to see those two shows in 2019, and he's still playing the trumpet all region and all state, and he's really good. But he looks at what you're doing and just is amazed, as so many others are.
You see, okay, you think of, you have 16 year old sons. My sons are like 33 and 31, and you know as you get older, it even becomes more meaningful. Like the experience you had means more to me. I went to stuff with my daddy. You know, my father has passed away now. So when you tell me that. And the way you said it, you know, the song Candide, you remember the concert, just the kind of human, this time has made us really understand the impact of human things and the importance and how fleeting all of this is. So, yeah, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a meaningful moment as a dad that I'll never forget. And I know for my son, it was a meaningful moment for him as an aspiring musician. And let me just take a moment to just let you know, on behalf of everybody listening right now, our deepest sympathies on the passing of your dad, Ellis, due to COVID. I know that's hit home even more so to you and in dealing with the whole pandemic. I mean, can you talk about the way that it's impacted artists as well as fans and consumers of music but also it has inspired some art, like the Democracy Suite. I'm going to ask you about in a moment, but also the practice that people have been able to put in, but they haven't been able to perform yet. But there's going to be an unleashing of so much music as the pandemic subsides.
I think you're right. People have been at home. I think that it's, you know, it's been a hard time for so many people. Losing loved ones, not getting a chance to see them or send them out right is one thing. And then with many people, the loss of jobs, homes, for younger people, just who were struggling is really struggling more. But for also for other younger people having their parents' homes, those who didn't see their parents and the parents being forced into a position where you have to deal with your relationship and your children, and we're forced to confront each other and deal with each other alive. I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of this, just as there's been a lot of tragedy and pain. For me personally, of course, losing my father, it's a great loss, but my father said at that time, he said, man, a lot of people are losing loved ones, and your loss is not any more tragic than anybody else's. It just means something to you. So be a part of the overall cycle of life that's going on, and I agree with you. We're going to see a lot of creativity come out of this. And there's always, when there's some hardship, human beings, we always rise to the challenge. Those of us who remain, we're resilient, and we just have to make sure we're not overcome by negativity, but that we don't succumb to fear that makes us fear change, and then we just cling to the same old ways that didn't work anyway.
Well, and it reminds me of one of your quotes about the fact that jazz is not merely music. Jazz is America, relationships, communications, and negotiations. And so we are kind of all, no one is immune from what we've had to deal with the pandemic. And I know that it has inspired you. Let me ask you about the Democracy Suite, because on the occasion of the inauguration of President Biden earlier this year, you released the Democracy Suite, which focused on the feelings of loss that you've just been talking about with COVID-19, as well as the political and social and economic struggles, and turning into a swinging, stimulating, instrumental rumination on all of those issues. So you've been inspired yourself through all of this, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been very inspiring to me to meet with so many people on Zoom and teach classes all over the world and see all the creative things people are doing and work with the musicians to come even closer to my orchestra members, even in absence. We always were close and have love and respect for one another, but to maintain our relationship and the intensity of our feelings about music, even though we don't get a chance to play. And also I have many students, so this time part of the Democracy Suite is a piece called Out Amongst the People for Jonathan Baptiste. It's about my younger students that I see out planning protests and doing different things, exercising their rights. And they always tease me and try to get me to come out with them. Man, we know you hiding in your house, or we know you rest and soaking in some formaldehyde. Jump up out of there, come out and play with us. I always love just their participation, because before all of this happened, I always encouraged them to know the United States Constitution and understand how jazz is connected to American ways and the need for acuity and to learn about things and do an extra level of scholarship and work in this time.
One of the things that seems pretty obvious is that you get inspired and motivated by young people, and the young people that are coming through the Juilliard School, where you're the director of jazz studies since 2014, and as the managing and artistic director of jazz at Lincoln Center, that sort of gives you a little boost of energy, doesn't it, when you get around young people who have amazing energy and creativity and want to learn from you as a mentor?
Because I have a lot of great students, and some of them don't want to learn from me. They all have different attitudes, and, you know, they come from different backgrounds. They have different ways of looking at things, and I try to listen to their music and be sensitive to what it is that they're going through, and I learn from them. I mean, ultimately, when I'm teaching them or talking to them, I'm a mentor, so I have to have some more solutions. The experience gives me an understanding. But they have a lot of fresh ideas and ways that they look at things. And many times I don't agree with what they're saying, but I still give them the respect of listening and also the deeper respect of observing the world from the vantage point of their opinion.
Well, I know you mentioned that you're going to be performing some of the Democracy Suite when you're here in town in Charleston at the Juilliard Center on April 23rd and 24th. And I know other tunes that are exploring freedom. You mentioned a moment ago the unbelievable A Love Supreme from John Coltrane and the Freedom Suite from Sonny Rollins. I'll tell you, I'm a saxophone player myself. I still have my alto sax at home and my son on the trumpet. We pretend to be pretty good, but we just try to mess around on it a little bit. But, you know, the other thing is that while you're performing at the Juilliard Center, you were right across the street from the Mother Emanuel AME Church where we had that tragic shooting many years ago. Is that something that you're ever present aware of when you're here in the Holy City?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I was standing in a place across the street from the church before. I'm aware of all things that happen in our culture that are kind of things that we know about. I follow things. And I think it's important when you go to different cities to know topical things that are going on. And the things that I'm not aware of when I go in, I start to talk to people in the city. I always try to figure out what's going on and how to better be a part of ministering to the community and being a part of the community for the brief time I'm there.
You know, I could sit here and talk to you with your trumpet and listen to you play, and obviously we'd all be amazed and entertained, but you mentioned like the word ministry, and I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation words like advocate, educator, cultural leader. I mean, you started playing when you were a young kid, like 8 years old or even sooner than that, and it's just, how has that part of your mission merged with the music? I mean, you are one of the most eloquent people that I ever hear talking about the power of music and the meaning of jazz. And how have you balanced those two aspects of your career?
You know, for me, it's more natural. Like with you and your son, interesting, you play alto, he plays trumpet. I played trumpet. My older brother, Bradford, played alto. My father could play saxophone and clarinet. I'm mainly doing what I heard my father do. And my father could talk about the music he taught. He believed in the culture, and he was a universal humanist back when it was not at all popular to be that way. And I just hung with him and watched what he did and imitated him. And then as I grew older, of course, I added some of my own stuff to it, but I never found the need to compensate him in that way. So I had a kind of an advantage of talking about the music and about cultural things because that's what my father did and my mother, too. But she wasn't the public facing. You know, she was just in the house. We had six kids. We had six of us all together, and one of my brothers was and is severely autistic. You know, he took up a lot of time, but my mother made me see a lot of things, and she also was very expressive with words and things like that, writing. So for me, it comes kind of natural.
Well, and there's no more important job that you have is the job as of a parent. Because you never know how the way that a parent assesses the job that they did was how their kid turns out. And I feel very, very proud. And I know your dad, Ellis, was very proud as well. And by the way, I'll throw in, I'm a big fan of Branford as well as a sax player, as you might imagine. So, but now, you know, one of the things that you talk about, the swing. I mean, you even mentioned how jazz at Lincoln Center is the house of swing. And I love the quote that you don't just play jazz. You teach it, write it, dance it, sing it, present it, photograph it, film it, produce it, archive it, record it, broadcast it, commission it, celebrate it, love it, and share it. It is the American music, isn't it?
Yes, it's a music that comes directly out of the American experience and the search and the need for freedom. And it cultures and groups of people don't just get unlimited art forms. You know, if you're a culture and you're blessed, a civilization is blessed with an art form and ability to express itself in an art, it has to be studied to be understood. And it can last across centuries and across time if it's tended to. We have a tendency to turn everything into a commercial venture. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the music teaches us is that there's some components of our civic life that's not about turning a profit. It is about actually investing in our identity. And jazz is one of those things.
I have two questions left before I run out of time with you. And one is just because you started and your family started at young ages in playing instruments, and it's something that I'm so glad that my parents turned me on to at a young age, and something that I was hell-bound to do for my son from a very young age as well. And the importance of introducing kids to music, to musicianship, to an instrument. I mean, the power of music has been proven time again, academically, socially, psychologically, and it is a powerful thing. And I know that's a major message that you have.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important. Even if they're not going to play, it's great when you play an instrument, but I think also for kids and for parents who don't have a tradition of playing, just listening, you want to always try to make your listening habits improve. And don't lose sight of the fact that things like listening to music, reading, looking at art, watching movies, all the kind of things that we participate in, they all have a meaning, and they use symbolism to teach us something about ourselves. So we have to always be careful with what symbols we interface with on a regular basis, just like we have to be careful about what foods we eat all the time.
Well, I mean, and again, that you're proving my point by the eloquence that which you talk about music and the power of music. And the last question I have for you, I have to ask this, Wynton, because that the music that I hear oftentimes, most often from you, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., I hear CBS Sunday Morning and the trumpet fanfare. I know you've been asked about it a bunch. I saw a great interview with you talking about how when you hear it, you think you're a little flat or whatever. But how many people give you feedback and commentary on that opening for CBS Sunday Morning that has become such a staple here?
I hear about it every now and then. But I remember when I went in to do it, I thought, oh, I've played this a couple of times. I hadn't played piccolo trumpet in a long time. Man, I struggled to record. So I laughed because the producer was like, you have a hard time with this. And Doc Severinsen played it before me. And I always loved Doc. And I think about him because when he was on The Tonight Show, I was young coming up. He was always so supportive of me in my musicianship. And as a trumpet player, it's just that kind of brotherhood of trumpet playing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I should say the brotherhood and the sisterhood of trumpet playing.
That's so right. That's
we
right.
We're all kind of unbelievable women trumpet players too. They're part of our whole kind of world of trumpet.
Well, my son has a female trumpet teacher. And I will let him know that he is in the brotherhood of trumpet players with Wynton Marsalis. That will make his year. So it is so great to talk to you, and I can't wait to see you here in town on April 23rd and 24th at the Gilliard. And I want to remind everybody that they have well over 600 digital programs at jazz.org for teaching, for music, and so much more. And Wynton, I just can't thank you enough for all the great music and for taking some time to talk to us. Really appreciate the conversation.
Man, thank you so much. Bring your son back. At least we might have our masks on and stuff, but I can at least see him and put a vibe on him. I look forward to seeing him.
Well, I'll let him know he's going to get a vibe put on him by Wynton Marsalis. And great to talk to you, and we'll see you here in April. And please take care, and my best to you and the entire family. But thank you for everything from the Jazz at Lincoln Center. It is greatly appreciated.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
All right.